Blog Talk Radio.
Shout out to Adrian Adonis. Yeah. This ain't no video game. Yeah. This life will only give you 1 year. That's where my brothers, we are locked up in a brutal scene.
Damn.
Fuck underground, I'm thunderbound. So point the arrow now. Damn. I built the pyramids and rose the sun. So call me Pharaoh now.
Ramesses.
That's just some food for thought. So take it like a protein.
Yeah.
I live in places that's so anti-black and pro-green.
Damn.
Money over Africans, but we ain't really Africans.
Damn.
Divide us like we fractions, so we won't reclaim our past again.
God,
so tell your fucking pastor, Robin Master, take a class again.
Yeah.
Cause I'm gonna show these people there's no need for you to ask them in. Just get up on your knees and talk to God, don't worry about your sin. I'm telling you the truth, my words, my bond, and I can vouch for him. This light up in the tunnel, can't you see it? Use your glasses, damn. I'm tired of all my people, see that's niggas with no action plan. And I didn't choose to rap, it just fell into a backup plan. So let it go so he can show you how he's built a master plan.
Yeah. I rise with the sun.
Even if you ain't the same, and treat your lady with respect, even if she hates your vein. It's easier to do the bad, I'm urging you to please refrain. Read about some righteousness or open up a business, man. If you don't really feel this, turn it off and toss it in the drain. Cause I ain't got no feelings for no sheep who's lost without his brain. Michael Brown, he left me with a frown, but he should've known better, man. When they looking for a reason to put a bullet in his letter, man. And don't you get the clue that all these people scared of all us? Cause we made it through that slavery by Rolexes and Rovers, and you can't hold us down. We hold the crown for majors before us. And though you play with money, we still know that you below us. Now look what you done did. I'm so mixed, I'm just mixed up. Cause I can see the point of every picture with these scriptures. If you never take a handout, you can never be a victim. So I don't participate inside these pretty little prisms. Money, military, college.
All right. Welcome. This is Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. Master Teacher 33. And today is Tuesday, July the 19th, of 2016. And the time is 12 noon Central Time. As always, we have another outstanding show scheduled for you today. And as you know, I like to get right into the meat of the message. I know your time is valuable. I respect you. I respect your time. So I do not want to waste your time. I want to spend as much time revealing, explaining, illuminating, and simplifying the word of God, the word of Yahuwah and his son, Yahushua. So today, my brothers, today, my sisters, we'll continue with part two. Part two of the series that we started yesterday. Again, we're introducing the upcoming series that we'll be starting, on August the 1st. We'll be kicking off also my new 101 Clarinomics program on August the 1st as well. So as you know, it looks like we got a lot of stuff going on that starting around about that same time. This is a part of the series entitled The Family, where we are actually breaking down what constitutes or what is or what the definition of or what is a family. Because as you know, family is a part of the standard. And the standard consists of faith, family, and finances. So we really want to spend a lot of time focusing on those three areas. We just wrote the book, did the show on dealing with faith. Now we're talking about family. And one of the foundation, two of the ingredients that are foundational for the family is the husband and the wife, or again, the two people that have the ability to bring forth life. And so that institution is at risk. There is an attack on the institution of marriage. There's an attack on the institution of family. And people like myself, we make it easy for the enemy to win because we are not fighting. So there are certain people, there are certain dispositions, there are certain mindsets, there are certain groups, there are certain mentalities that make you more susceptible and make it easier for the enemy to destroy everything that you're trying to build. And that's whether you're knowingly or unknowingly trying to build it, you're part of this family. Now, we are part of a spiritual family, then we are part of a physical family. And so the enemy is attacking both. He's attacking the spiritual house and your physical house. And so there are certain mental dispositions that you can't maintain. If you do maintain, you need to understand that you are inviting in an attack from the enemy. Now, we talked about three of those yesterday. We talked about people who suffer from childhood trauma. We talked about people who are young, who are adolescents, who are babies, having babies, who are children, who get involved in a relationship way too early, and now they find themselves dealing with adult issues, and they're still children. Children, having children is a big issue, a big problem. That makes you more at risk because there is this ideal that psychology calls escapism. Now, escapism, dangerous thing, because you don't even know you're doing it. I go to the gym a lot, but why do I go to the gym a lot? Well, going to the gym for me is like therapy. Going to the gym for me is like meditation. Going to the gym for me is like when women go get their hair done or their nails done or pedicure or manicure. Going to the gym for me is like going to eat at a 5-star restaurant. So what is it about going to the gym? Is it the fact that I get to lift weights? Well, I used to have a gym in my home, treadmill. What is it about the gym? For me, the gym is a form of escape. The gym represents where I can go and I can avoid reality by totally absorbing my mind in an imaginative situation or activity that escapes or avoids the reality that needs to be addressed. That is why men cheat. I can't really speak for women. Women is more emotional. Women, y'all are sold this bill of goods, and every woman grows up and she wants to have this fairy tale wedding. I mean, it's amazing. I remember my daughters in middle school talking about their wedding dress. What? How about we get good grades? But women, since y'all are girls, when women are babies, they sell y'all on this ideal of a wedding. But nobody prepares you for the marriage. And the fourth thing that we want to start addressing, we talked about childhood trauma, young, being too young, low self-esteem, previously failed relationships, and dysfunctional families. Those two go together because a failed relationship is a dysfunctional family. A dysfunctional family is a failed relationship. So we talked about the first three. Four and five go hand in hand. We're looking at the 10 groups or the 10 dispositions or mindset or 10 things or 10 mentalities or mindset that makes it easier for you to fall into fornication, fall into adultery, fall into infidelity. I like the word infidelity because that's a watered-down term for the word adultery. It sounds better, right? Infidelity doesn't sound as harsh as adultery or fornication. Still the same thing. And so the thing that all of these 10 groups, all of these 10 people have in common is escapism. But what are you trying to escape? For men, we like to solve problems. And for women, you know, it's totally different. Women, they like and they have this ideal of being a princess, of being the queen, of being the apple of your eye. So if the woman can't or doesn't feel Women is all about feelings. Men is all about logic. So a woman is always in her feelings or in her heart. The man is always in his head. And so there is a separation or a division that's in all of relationships. And if men can't become more feeling-oriented, and if women can become more reasonable and logic, the twain shall never meet. Because the things that destroys relationship or the ability to relate is men, we always try to fix stuff instead of understanding stuff. The woman wants to be understood. A man wants to be needed. Relationships don't work because men will keep trying to fix the woman, which tells her something is wrong with her. She already knows that. She just wants you to understand her. Men, we don't seek to understand. We seek to be understood. And so instead of listening, all we're doing is trying to make our point. And what happens in a relationship is both parties, after a period of time, get frustrated and they escape. So escapism is the foundational reason why I'm doing this today's show. Because 99.99999% of the people are involved in some form of escapism. Now, escapism is interesting because, remember, it is the avoidance of reality by being absorbed in another activity. That's the problem, because the escapism, people who are workaholics, why they work all the time? They don't want to be at home. People who don't work all the time, at home is how they escape work. So whatever you are doing is because you're escaping something else. And until we address the issue of escapism, all of these groups are still in the group. Because unless you deal with the underlying cause, the causality of it, each one of these groups. Now remember, people who come from, people who have seen, like when I was a kid, I never saw a functional marriage. Never, ever. My grandparents, my grandfather would sit on the porch, my grandmother would be in the house. They yelled at obscenities at each other. They had been so married so long, and so they just kind of like, hey, they just hung out. They slept in different bedrooms. My mother and father, yeah, that was a disaster. All of our brothers, older brothers, all of my uncles, they all had whole other families. Most of my brothers were 18-wheelers. They were over-the-road truck drivers. Most of my uncles, same thing. So they drove trucks for a living. So they would drive 48 states. They had families, and one of my brothers had families. He had totally different families, three different states. I remember one of my siblings, they found out that they had their husband had a whole other family, and he had two daughters and a son with his current family. And then when the children got 18, they found out that they got brothers and sisters that they're the same age in a whole other state. That's what I saw. That's what I thought was normal. So if you come from a broken or a dysfunctional family, you are prone or you are at risk because you don't know normal. So how can you be normal? You've never seen it. You've never seen it. So how can you be something that you've never seen? I remember the first time I saw a black teacher, I was in eighth grade, and it was Coach Tate. I didn't think black men could be teachers. I had no clue. See, you can't be something. That's why having a white Jesus is so dangerous for black people. Having a black Jesus is so dangerous for white people. Because you can't be something. You can't emulate something. You can't admire. You can't grow up to be. That's why it says you should have no image. Because you don't have no image, then it doesn't allow you. It doesn't limit you. That means the sky is the limit. See, we don't understand. We think labels and terms and pictures and pixels actually are our friend. But they're not, because now you can't use your imagination. You can't actually think of a creator that's like you. You got this image that somebody else gave you. And if that image doesn't fit, then you got an issue. You got a problem. Because the people, especially from an African-American point of view, the people who enslaved you, now you got a picture of that same person on your wall or someone of that same flavor or color. That's why this is so dangerous. Because when you think about relationships, you want a marriage. Now, everyone know, again, this is important, man, really important. Life after infidelity. So how can you rebuild trust once it's gone? It's like a mirror. When you drop a mirror, sometimes it's better just to go buy a new one. How can you pick up all the pieces of it and repair it? Can you do it? Yes, you can. Absolutely, you can. You just got to understand that it's going to take work. You got to understand how. And you got to understand why. And you got to be willing to put in the effort. Most people are not. And so when we talk about people who survive or come from a dysfunctional family, and we talk about people who have already had a failed marriage or a failed relationship, it makes them more susceptible to having another one. So again, if you don't understand history, you're doomed to repeat it. So if you don't take the time to look at what caused, what is not the effect, not the effect, the cause. What is the root cause that started? And the cause is never outside of yourself. Man, this is tough. I talk to fellow women who are in an abusive relationship. The dude is beating the snot out of her. And then you got some guy like me come around telling them that's well, basically he beat the snot out of you because you want him to. You want to cause a firestorm? Yeah, go tell a woman that's in an abusive relationship the guy's beating you because you want him to. That's hard. And the reason I know now, I know family members. When I was a cop, I talked to a lot of people. I know personally right now, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I know 5 women who are in abusive relationships who get this knot beat out of them. Physically, and the guy that they're with never hit a woman before he got with her. And every, I'm talking about women in their 50s, and every male, bar none, that they've been with never beat the woman and never hit a female until he got with her. But the woman says it's the man's fault. Now, women, this is really important. There are certain women that know the buzzwords to pull out of a man and that rage. Now, there's a whole lot of reasons why they do it, but we got to start with understanding that you may unknowingly be doing it. Because if you go back and if you look at every person that comes into your life and they end up leaving you or physically harming you, there is a cause. It must be addressed. That leads me to number 6. The number 6 group of people, and this one is a biggie, is highly religious people. Man, brothers, sisters, this group of people, the mindset, I mean, we could spend 7 hours just talking about this one group. What makes you at risk for having an affair? For engaging in fornication, and you're going to church. Because the mere fact that you are going to church implies that there is a need for something outside of the self. The word religion itself states, R-E-L-I, the I is a Y, rely, I, O-U-S. Religious. Now, if we look at the word religion, R-E-G-I, rely, change the I into a Y, I on. It means to rely on. It means to rely on something. So you're relying upon something. And so you're sitting there and you got to find something to rely upon. So you look for somebody to help you. Not realizing that all you have everything according to the scriptures that you read. The Bible says the kingdom of God is within. The Bible says that. The Bible says seek you first the kingdom of God. It doesn't say seek you first a husband or wife. Do you know that work comes before a woman? When God made Adam, he took him and he put him in the garden. He told him to tend the garden. Adam had a job. Then he saw Adam. He said, it's not good that man should be alone. Then he gave Adam a woman. Women, you got a man, he ain't got no job. Now, I'm not talking about he got to have no traditional 9-to-5, but he got to have something. He got to have a purpose. I say job, I mean purpose, I mean destiny. You meet a man, and he don't know what the hell he's doing, where he's going. He don't know what he's doing. Now, you help me. You should help him, but he should have a sense of urgency down in his spirit to actually be of value. He should be an asset, not a liability. So you with somebody, and you mean to tell me he's taking more money out of your account than he's putting in? He's in the home, and he creates more havoc and chaos when he's there than when he's gone? God gave man work before woman. Work before woman. Work before woman. So people who are highly religious, by the mere fact that they, and I used to be one, I'm not talking about somebody who read a book. When the Bible says God has given us, has past tense, means you already have it. The Bible says that we've been predestined. The Bible says godliness plus contentment. You know the word contentment? Triple dare you to look it up in the Greek and the Hebrew. The word contentment means not needing outside assistance. That's what it means. The word contentment means not needing outside assistance. God has given us power to trample on snakes and scorpions, that our power is in me. God has given us a measure of faith. God has given us everything pertaining to life and godliness. That's what it says in 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3. It says that his divine power has given us everything we need. So since we have everything that we need, why are we looking for it? Now, I'm guilty of this. Every day, every time something happens in my life, I look for help. And I pick up my phone and say, who can I call? And then it's like, hey, you don't have a money problem. You have a creative problem. You don't have a relationship problem. You got a ego problem. You got a self-centeredness problem. Do you know that all problems in relationships, at their base, at their core, is because somebody is selfish. Somebody is self-centered. The Bible says that you should do unto others as you want them to do unto you. The Bible says that love does not seek its own. It is patient, it is kind, it is gentle. Love does not seek its own. It esteems others higher than itself. Anytime you find trouble in a relationship, there is somebody who is not esteeming others higher than themselves. Highly religious people don't even understand spirituality. Because, again, religion and spirituality, religion is tradition. Spirituality, that's actually universal law. Spirituality is actually the principles that bring about selflessness. Tradition and religion bring about selfishness. Spirituality, selfless. Religion, selfish. That's what you can always tell. You go to somebody, they start talking, just listen to them. Make sure you look them in the eye and listen to them. The more they start saying, I, they got religion. They got tradition. When you sit down and you talk to somebody and they say we, or they say they, they're talking about helping other people, you know they got spirituality. Spirituality and religion is two different things. Religious people are very, very prone to these things because they are accustomed. They've been trained to go outside of themselves to solve problems. Every person that I know that's religious, when they got a problem, they hit their knees. They pray and then they look. They wait. Everybody got spirituality. They know that God has already given them. They know that they got a creative problem. They just think. They say, okay, Father, I know that I have been given everything that I need for life and godliness, so I have it, but I can't see it. Help me see. They say, Father, I believe. Help my unbelief. See, I know there's no such thing as poverty. So when the enemy comes and he tries to give it to me, I know that that's a lie. I know. So I don't buy what I see. I go by what God says. See, religion doesn't teach you that. Religion teaches you to go by what you see, and religion teaches you fear. When I read in the Bible, it says that God has not given me a spirit of fear, but he's given me a spirit of love, power, and a sound mind. Most religious people don't have a sound mind. They wishy-washy. They flip-flop back and forth. Everything depends upon the Reverend Dr. Bishop. Religious people are dangerous people because they don't know how to stand. And having done all, stand. See, spirituality teaches you to stand. Doesn't matter what you see. So, you in the fiery furnace. They threw the three Hebrew boys in the fiery furnace, too. So, you're in the lion's den. They threw Daniel in the lion's den, too. So, you're in the belly of the whale. They threw Jonah in the belly of the whale. Notice all of them, they came out pretty good. So, I think you're good, too. I don't care what's going on in your life. Don't go outside and sleep with somebody else thinking that's going to help. That's what I did. It didn't help. It makes things worse. It doesn't make things better. So religion teaches you to run. Spirituality teaches you to fight. I love spirituality. I hate religion. Number seven. This number seven, the seventh group of mindset or disposition is light workers. Now, this is a tough one because light workers are interesting. Everybody that's listening to this show, you would not be tuning into this show if you wasn't a light worker. Now, you should be asking that age-old question, what the beep is a light worker? That's a great question. I'm glad you asked. So we're going to break that this time because this is the big one. See, the mere fact that you are spiritual means that you are sensitive. It means that you can sense you have this thing called discernment. And so the next three are all really one. But we got to dissect them, and we'll do a part three. I'm going to try to wrap it up and squeeze it in today. But you know what? Hey, we'll break this down because the next three are actually the next four. Well, really the next three. The fourth one is a little outside the box. People who are light workers, people who are empaths. You guys know what an empath is? Oh, we got to break that one down. People who are a cosmic parent. That's life path number six in 33. And then the last one is people who are wealthy or prosperous. So light workers. We've got a few minutes before the show's over today. Let's dissect this one. Now, a light worker is somebody that basically spiritual person. That's it. So when we talk about a light workers, when we talk about light workers, we talk about people who have a gift. Everybody has a gift. If you have your Dear Canary report, I broke that down for you. Some people have evangelism. Some people got wisdom. Some people are teachers, pastors, prophets, you know, the gift of giving. But a spiritual light worker is a spiritual warrior. Now, we all have light, but some of us don't use it. So light workers, we are energy workers. A light worker, we are light warriors. As a light warrior, what you do is you use your energy. You use your chi. You use your prana. You use your breath. You use, in the Greek, your ether. That's your light, your very breath. What do you do with it? You take this breath, and what you do, you put it in a harmonic frequency. That means that you have the ability. Now, only light workers can do this. A gifted light worker is a warrior. It's a person who manages his own light. So that way it affects positively the light of others. As such, light workers see through fluff. We're not. Light workers are very, very dangerous people because we are guided by angels or we are pushed by demons. Every day, as a light worker, you are being led. The Ruach will lead and guide. The anti-Ruach is going to try to manipulate and control. Every day you got to make a decision because you manage the light. Or you allow the enemy to manage. So now remember, the word guide means, it means to steer. One who steers, just like steering a ship. So you are a spiritually oriented person by nature. As such, you don't look at flesh. So you have the ability to see through. Everybody put on this fake exterior. Light workers see through and they see the hurt, pain, and you sense the pain and you sense the hurt. But if you are a light worker and you don't have something to give somebody, you're going to give them yourself, your flesh, your goodies. Let me say that again. Light workers, The reason you are susceptible, the reason that you find yourself in situations where you kind of cross the border, I do this all the time. I find myself, and I'll meet this, and I'll say words that are borderline, you know, flirtatious. And I'm like, oh, man, why did I say that? Because I really do like the person, but I'm really not trying to sleep with them. I just want to help them. But as a light worker, I have the ability to feel way deeper than other people, and it's often misunderstood. And people that don't know their divine purpose, when they find somebody who finally opens up, they sense their pain. And this pain floods, and it's usually stuff from their childhood. It is so painful. The person is so lonely. They are so vulnerable. You want to do something. And the devil tells you, well, you ain't got no money. You ain't got no house to put them in. You ain't got no food to give them. Look at the children. Go and console them. And you go over there and you find yourself sleeping with them. You just made things worse. So light workers have trouble saying no, because we see past the fluff. We know that you're putting on a fake game, man. Everybody asks, hey, brother, how you doing? Hey, praise the Lord, brother. Everything's great. Man, we know you lying. We know your wife just kicked you out. We know that, you know, you got fired from your job. We know you're a borderline alcoholic. We know all of this stuff about you, and yet you're at church on Sunday with your best suit on, smell alcohol on your breath, and you got everybody fooled. But you can't fool light workers. Spiritual light workers, they see, they have discernment. The problem is light workers are empaths. They're empathic. We have empathy, and we can feel, I mean literally, put ourselves in another person's shoes. As a light worker, that is dangerous, because when you go into that wounded person and you go there and you try to save them instead of hit them, and you start giving and giving and giving and giving and giving, and you forget to set those boundaries, you will find yourself in deep trouble. See, light workers, we crave. We want to be in the battle. You ever seen somebody that's good at combat, what they want to do? They want to be in the front lines because they are good. That's where light workers are. Light workers, we are good at what we do. But sometimes we are so good at what we do, we become our own worst enemy. Because of this thing called empathy. Tomorrow we're going to break down what is a empath. That is the next group of people that are dangerous, because empaths are finely tuned people that feel even more deeply what everybody else failed to intellectualize. The intuition of an empath, naturally, I'm talking about, you got to go read no book. You need to take no classes or no courses. You don't go to anybody, lay no hands on you. You naturally, it's just like breathing. An empath and a light worker are so, light workers are empaths, and empaths are light workers. That's why these two, and most of them are sixes and 33s. Now, not all, but most of them are. But sixes and 33, I just put you on a whole nother level of being corrupted if you're not careful. So tomorrow we'll go ahead and we'll do one more part. We'll knock out the last three light workers, empaths. We'll talk about 33s and 6s. We'll also wrap it up with the last piece of the puzzle, people who are well-to-do. I'm not talking about rich. I'm talking about people that got a job. So you got a job. You make a little money. You got, you know, a couple extra $100 left over at the end of your paycheck. That puts you at risk. We'll break it down for you. Brothers, sisters, thank you everybody so much for joining me on today's show. God bless you. His name is Yahuwah. May his son bless you. His name is Yahushua. May the Ruach, instead of part one, continue to lead you and guide you in all truth, because he will never, ever manipulate or control you. And as always, my brothers, as always, my sisters, I will see you in eternity. God bless you.
Y'all need to wake up now, but no, this ain't a pyramid scheme. Like the police, yeah, I'm still on the scene.
after I murder, then flee. Reality, you wouldn't murder or flee. That's all truth if you heard it from me. Verbal or circle and seems firmly a virtue. Bring the world to its knees. So when I bless you, you should certainly sneeze. People don't purchase CDs, so I give it to them for free. Cause one bird in the house better than two in the tree. You still dreaming, thinking your career is something that's not. You kettle corn with something to pop. You still dreaming, pass a message if you run in the park. Tell a mama hold it down and hold you up like all the traffic just stopped. It's like some people, it's like I let the sample sing to you. The truth is in the words, but it's all a dream to you. Or maybe your inception, Leonardo speak to you. DiCaprio tell you that you nice, snap out the actor, yo. You go with us to get out of that shell like pistachios. So quit dreaming. Quit dreaming. 1-2-1-2. Some dreams stay dreams, some dreams come true. A 1-2-1-2. Some dreams stay dreams, some dreams come true. You just, it's just, I see.
Yeah.